Spider Monkey Island is one of the most popular attractions at this zoo, but you'd hardly know it right now. The monkeys are all grouped together, taking a siesta in the shade of a rock. A few people stop briefly to look, then move on in search of something more interesting. But in a matter of seconds, the whole scene changes. Suddenly, the monkeys are scurrying over rocks and swinging from ropes. They chatter back and forth as they scamper around the exhibit. As the activity level grows, so too does the crowd. Zookeeper Amy Harris says there's a reason for all the commotion.
I actually hid the food in the exhibit so they would have to hunt for it and explore for it. We use hollow logs. There's an ice cube out there with bananas and grapes and sunflower seeds that will eventually melt. Just anything to keep their activity level up and to help them display their natural behavior.
Harris has been a keeper here at John Ball Park Zoo in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for the past 7 years. She says hiding the monkeys' treats is more than just a game for the animals or a way to entertain zoo visitors. It's called animal enrichment.
We look at behaviors we want to elicit from that animal, and we also look at behaviors we want to modify, such as over-grooming. Pacing is a big problem you tend to have in captivity. And with animal enrichment, we've really noticed a positive change.
There have been lots of studies about how animals behave in the wild, but far less research about how they react in captivity. For the past 12 years, that's been the focus of Dr. Virginia Landau's work. She's one of the pioneers of animal enrichment and is director of Chimpan Zoo, a Tucson, Arizona-based project of the Jane Goodall Institute. Landau works with zoos around the world, studying their chimps and helping design enrichment programs for them.
It's actually performing some sort of occupational therapy on an animal level. And it keeps them from just sitting around and being bored all day long or from developing abnormal behaviors. And it stimulates their emotional well-being.
When Landau started her work with chimps in 1988, she says enrichment was practically unheard of. But she says word eventually spread that simple and inexpensive techniques can often lead to dramatic changes. Now, Landau says, the concept spread to all kinds of animals.
Elephants are enriched, for example. You know that elephants like to draw in the dirt, in the dust, and so they make sure there are branches in their enclosure for them to pick up with their trunks and to draw or paint with. There are special enrichments for even creatures like vultures.
Critics of zoos might point out there's a certain irony here. After all, if the animals weren't in captivity, there'd be no need for enrichment. But Landau and others who work in zoos say as long as there are animals in captivity, it's their job to create the best possible environment for them. At many zoos, keepers have provided enrichment to one extent or another for a long time. But until recently, it wasn't treated very scientifically. Dr. Landau says the activities were generally infrequent and not very meaningful. But that's changing now. Many zoos are setting up uniform programs to define enrichment goals and track results. Back at John Ball Park Zoo, each time keepers give an enrichment item, they record what it was, when it was given, and the animal's reaction to it. The first animal targeted in their study was a kinkajou. They're similar to raccoons, but brown in color. The kinkajou here was overactive, pacing so much in his glass enclosure that he was losing weight. So the zookeepers tried different things to distract him from pacing and ended up with a long list of proven enrichment items, including pig ears to gnaw on and spices to sniff. Most enrichment is simple and inexpensive, but it's not always easy to find solutions. Animal curator Brent Spencer says data collection is still so new, most of the information available is merely anecdotal.
You would hear that, you know, kinkajous liked something, so, but that didn't tell you, you know, did it elicit a behavior, did it stop a behavior, how frequently was it used? This information wasn't there. All you knew is they responded to it in some fashion. So the records keeping that we have now will allow us to track that.
This summer, Spencer says, the zoo is expanding the data being collected. They've recruited volunteers who will be observing the animals' responses to enrichment techniques, and the keepers will be swapping that information with other zoos around the country. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Grand Rapids, Michigan.